Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by our newest Patreon member, Amanda Sandoval. And I need to take a moment to say Patreon member Sirnetra Hart's name correctly. Sirnetra. I said it wrong last time, and I don't want to say it wrong. And she corrected me. And so it's Sirnetra. Sirnetra, I love your name, and I love you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Amanda. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without you. And I'm so grateful to all of you for making this show a possibility.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Teague Milan.
Jamie Kelton. Hi.
Oh my God, Teague is back. Teague is a lifesaver. I was supposed to do this intro with my gorgeous wife, but that didn't work out. That didn't work out. And I was like, Teague.
Happens.
I need you.
I'm gonna fill in for the gorgeous wife. Here I am.
Well, Teague is a gorgeous man, so I'm all about it.
I appreciate it.
All about it. So before we get into the interview that you're helping me introduce, I want to talk to you about some shit that just went down in the news.
Oh, tell me.
So there's this lawmaker in Montana, representative, Zoe Zephyr. She's trans. She's a trans representative in Montana.
Zoe Zephyr.
Yeah. Okay. And they're trying to pass these anti-trans bills, as all these different stupid states are. And she has been blocked from speaking on the floor as of 20 hours ago. They just blocked her from speaking. She made an impassioned speech a couple days ago or something. And then from then on, the Republicans are like, nope, shut her down. They don't let her speak.
That's wild. What is there? How are they justifying not letting her speak? This is oh, you're trans. You gotta shut up.
I think that's what it is.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, nope. A 14-member legislative bloc called for Zephyr to be officially censured in a statement posted to Twitter, misgendering her throughout. Oh, my God. And I got this from them on Instagram. I follow them. Do you follow them?
I follow them, yeah.
I love them. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
People, protesters are showing up in droves, like, shouting, let her speak, let her speak. Like, it's like craziness. And yeah, they got arrested yesterday. Seven protesters got arrested.
That's wild. It's like they have that Montana, then we have what happened in Tennessee. Let me tell you, I think this country is just really on a slippery slope when it comes to democracy and what it means to be a voice of discontent or a voice, what is it, dissidents, you know, and how they're trying to silence those voices, you know, because the balance of power started to shift. And I'm telling you, when the balance of power starts to shift and people who are supposed to be marginal start taking up more space and start having a voice and start demanding equality, it's going to feel like oppression to everybody else who have so many privileges. Yeah. And that's what's happening right now. And I don't know. I think, like, you know, if it's going to happen to one of us, it's going to happen to all of us. Mm. So I think it's really important for people who aren't trans, who are not connected to queer spaces, but who are interested in and who are passionate about making sure that we all have a voice in how this country represents itself and how it represents us. If we all would have a voice here, then we really need to be paying attention to what's happening. Because this is what happens. It's a test. They start with the most marginal of us and start seeing, like, what can we get away with? How can we shut them down? How can we disempower them? And then it starts to spread. I'm telling you, this is a telltale sign of what's to come, and it's scary. But, you know, it's scary, and I'm glad that she got nominated, at least.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that even happened that she even got nominated.
I don't either. I don't either. Place. But, like, you know, you're living in the world. What state are you in right now?
I'm in Texas.
Texas. Like, are you scared in Texas, Teak?
I hate Texas, and no disrespect to anybody from Texas that's listening.
Well,
but
there's a lot of shit going down. Come on,
First, there's a lot of shit going down here, like politically, socially, the education system here, shit. And then I just don't like the culture down here. Mm. It doesn't feel inviting. It doesn't feel like a place that wants a person like me here. Mm. And then I'm in Dallas, and Dallas is just like highways and strip malls.
Right. Well, that's never fun. You're not missing anything.
Yeah. Right. You're not missing anything in Texas, kids.
But, you know, like, I wonder how far could this just go and go. Like, I was just recently in Florida with my family. And as you know, I have a little boy with long hair, and he is always, everybody thinks he's a girl. He's always misgendered. Right. And he's not trans, but I'm in Florida and I in my head, I'm thinking, and this sounds ridiculous, but in my head, I was like, oh my God, what if somebody thinks I'm with little girl, and then I'm like, no, he's a boy. And then they think that I'm letting him live a different gender. And then I'm like, where does this stop?
And then in my head, that you're a lesbian. And then here the police show up at your door.
Yeah. And I'm making all these woke decisions for my child who's actually a girl, but I'm making him be a boy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in my head, I was like, oh my God. And then I'm going to have to go to the doctor and show his fucking genitals. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, where does this end?
And we shouldn't have to worry about things like that. We just want to move throughout the world just as human beings and just as a family. You should be able to go anywhere you want with your family without having to worry about people policing you your kid's gender.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. Yeah. So anyway, we went there, and I'm so glad have you, Teak, to talk to about this because
we had to unload. We had to get that out.
We really did. Because it's getting scarier and scarier.
It is scary.
And it really is like, okay, there's no ending to this. It's just going to keep, it can just keep rolling. And then it turns into this insane world where girls have to wear dresses and boys have to wear pants and boys have to have short hair. Like, where do we stop this?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. And I don't have the answer for that. I don't know. Because they're not going to stop. Because the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, the baddies, they're not going to stop. They're going to keep going and going and keep trying to just like tear down, you know, our ability to speak out for ourselves and try to disenfranchise people so that they can keep power. Yeah. And who knows how far people will go to keep power. And particularly with this new generation, like this new generation is not here for the shit. They're not here.
No.
They're not conservative leading politically. If you want to look at this political binary, they're not necessarily Republicans. A lot of them. A lot of them are like, you know, I want to have access to abortion. I want to be able just to be whoever I want to be and love who I want to love. I want like really good comprehensive education. Like these kids know what they want.
Yeah.
They know who they are and they're ready to use their voice. And these gatekeepers of power are not having it.
No.
They're not having it.
And I'm down with that. I'm down with the young people. I'm down with the young people.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
No, it's crazy. I don't know if it was a senator, somebody big in law. I just saw a video. It was probably on them as well. had delivered this impassioned speech about how, you know, the world's going to shit and all of these imps and demons, that's what he called us.
Mm-hmm.
Imps. Demons. And he reiterated, he said, yes, I did. I called them imps and demons because that's what they are. Like, I was like, what?
I don't even know what it, I don't know what an imp is, but it sounds like a very awful insult to call me a fucking imp. Fuck you. I don't even know what that is. I'm not one. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. That's hilarious. I didn't even think about that. But like, and how come he gets to talk? How come he got to say his entire speech? Nobody's silencing him. But
because he's a Christian. That's the thing. And then they'll take religion. They'll weaponize religion as a way to justify their violence and their bigotry. And then, you know, people allow it because it's religion. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Okay.
That's a whole scary thing.
I'm so glad we unloaded that together.
That's not what we're here for.
It's not. But it is. All right. Lauren and Anne-Marie, they're actually really close friends of my wife and I. We go way back. They're chosen family. Like, our kids call them Aunt Lauren, Aunt Anne-Marie. Like, it's, you know, like, we have this whole group where everybody's aunts. And there's one husband in the mix, and he just gets called Aunt, too, just because we like to keep the theme going. It's Aunt Pat. And he's straight. Like, it's the one straight couple in the group.
And he's straight. Oh, my God.
He likes it, though. He thinks it's funny. But anyway, so they're members of our chosen family. And Lauren, one half of the partnership, actually suffered kind of the unimaginable a couple years back. She lost her family in a car accident. And so this is kind of a trigger warning. We go somewhere in this story. And I was even like kind of scared to even interview them because it's so personal to me too. And so it's tough. It's a sad story, but Lauren and Anne-Marie actually knew each other years and years and years before Lauren married her wife, Carrie, who passed.
Mm-hmm.
And they reconnected after she lost her wife and son, and she lost her son as well. So trigger warning, guys, trigger warning.
That's
It's a lot. But they reconnected, they got married, and they now have two little boys together. And so it's kind of a whole rebirth and it's a whole.
That's great.
Yeah. But it's hard. And I do want to say one thing before I roll the tape. Lauren does kind of briefly say that she has been diagnosed with adjustment trauma with flattened mood. And I want to say that because Lauren is able to tell the story very matter-of-factly. And Anne-Marie and I are like crying and sobbing. And Lauren is really just, this is what happened. This is what it is. I just want to explain, you know, she suffered an immense, insane
trauma,
and her body is dealing with it the way her body and mind deals with it. Right. So I just want to put that out there for everybody. So nobody comes and is like, oh, sure. She didn't even seem to care. It's not even
at all. She didn't tell me.
Yeah. So, this story, I'm so grateful to know them, and I'm happy that they shared their story. And if it can give anybody out there comfort or just like a new appreciation in the family they have, then it's great. We need to roll the tape and buckle up, cause here we go. We have to tell Helen and Beulah to roll the tape. Do you want to do it, Teek? You do it. You tell those crotchety ladies. Smoking.
What are they doing over there, Jamie?
Smoking their cigarettes, filing their nails.
Crotchety and smoking their cigarettes. Helen and Beulah, roll the tape.
The Queer Family Podcast.
Wait, Helen, before you roll that tape, this is Jamie's daughter, Rose. I have to tell you that you should join my mom's Patreon. My mom works really hard on this show, but even with the sponsors, she really doesn't make enough profit to hire a real assistant or a team. So please go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast and join now. You'll do a good thing and get bonus content. She really loves this stuff.
Queer Family Podcast.
just love is love.
Hi, Lauren and Anne-Marie.
Hi.
Hi. I almost flubbed up on your name, Anne-Marie, because I want to call you Am, because we all call you Am.
Yeah. Nobody calls me Anne-Marie. I love her full name, though.
Yeah. I love. All right. So before we get into the whole thing, let's just get right into your 30-second elevator pitch. I won't cut you off. I would never do that, especially because you're friends and I love you. But you got 30 seconds to tell me who you are, why you're here. I'm going to put a timer up. On your marks. Get set. Go.
So Am and I met over 20 years ago, became really good friends. We were never single at the same time. So stayed friends for a long time. And after
made out a couple times.
And then after some grief happened, we reconnected and we fell in love. And here we are with a beautiful family.
I know. It's crazy.
That's so crazy. You did it.
Hold up.
That was 24 seconds. And here's the thing. I know your story because I lived through it. Well, not the whole thing, but I've been around for the entire story. And even I was thinking, they're never going to get this in.
No.
I know. I'm like,
you're good, honey. Thank you for doing that.
That was a nice work. Nice work. So
thanks. I'll drink to that.
Yeah, drink Cheers. To that. We have drinks.
Cheers.
Because this story goes many places. And so we have drinks for it because we're preparing ourselves.
We have a little sip of sunshine for,
Yes. And all of you at home, grab a drink. We're going on a ride.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
For a joint.
So let's go back. Or a joint. Yeah, whatever floats your boat. We don't judge here. We like it all.
Go.
Okay, so let's go back. So you met, how many years ago did you say? 20 years ago?
We were 22. It was February of 99. Mm-hmm. We met at Henrietta's in the Village.
And you partied like it was 1999.
Yeah. I walked in. She was, I guess, dating one of my ex-girlfriends.
As we all do,
who introduced us officially?
Like, who is that?
Yeah,
standing in front of
the ex.
Going on,
and I was looking at her, and I was like, "Now that's my type."
Yes,
not the person I was on a date with.
And then what happened?
Our life went in different directions.
We kept running into each other. Yeah, we ended up realizing we had mutual friends. We were always at Henrietta's a lot. Like back, I think Henrietta's has changed a lot, but it was like just a great neighborhood. Bar, my band started playing there, and a couple of her friends used to come and watch the shows.
So
we just kind of kept running into each other, and we had always had so much fun that we became close friends real quick.
And we had a connection.
So
Am, you're the reason I know everyone. Like, you're the reason we're all connected. I talk about my lesbian mom group a lot on the show. We have this really big group at this point who are lesbian moms, but of like lesbians who met in the late 90s and early 2000s, and we're all still friends.
Yeah.
So still connecting, but like still like seeing each other as acquaintances, and there's like a spark, but
yeah, we were always dating other people.
Yeah. There were like brief moments where we kissed twice, like when we were very, very young.
When you were partnered up. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, or like one person wasn't, the other one was. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
There were times too where like we were single, but like one of my best friends had a crush on her, or I had just broken up with one of her really good friends. That happened twice. Mm. And I met my now late wife, Carrie.
Right.
She joined our basketball team called the Boozers. Within 4 years, Carrie and I got married up here in Massachusetts, because at the time, Massachusetts was the only state with legal gay marriage.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. We started the conversation about having kids, and that was like a long process of getting pregnant with our son, Grayson.
I remember.
It took like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So there was a really early miscarriage. After like 4 IUIs, I had an ectopic. And then I had to get emergency surgery, which a tube was removed from that. The only positive thing from that, though, was that the tube removed jumped us into IVF and having it covered by insurance. So that kind of sped up the process a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we found out we were pregnant in August of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But literally right after that first blood test, which we were kind of looking at the numbers, you know, what is it, like the HCG numbers or something?
Yeah, HCC.
It was super high. And we're like, oh no, do we have twins? and, And we're like, that's what the numbers kind of say. That's what they're hinting at, but we'll wait till we get to the doctor. And then, and I got like really bad cramping and was bleeding. And I'm like, I just knew what was happening. Mm. And I was like, please, I know I'm losing one of them, but please have it be one and not both. Mm. Like I knew in my heart, that's what was going on, you know, and I'm researching it too. Like I'm crazy with research, right?
WebMD.
So, yeah. And so I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I called Carrie. I was like, something's not good, you know? So it did turn out that they called him or her a vanishing twin. So we did lose one. Yeah. But that vanishing twin never really vanished 100%. Oh. Yeah. Which I found out at the delivery.
What?
But yeah.
Wait, a vanishing twin is basically like, it's supposed to kind of vanish in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think that as the baby grows that's living, that they'll kind of push that little placenta and sac right back into your wall and it vanishes.
Huh. That didn't happen. Yeah.
Not in my body.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Great pregnancy with Grayson. It was awesome. 10 days late, they're inducing me for 36 hours with Pitocin. It was horrendous. So he came out great, super healthy. They called him the kindergartner in the nursery. He was huge. And then the doctor's like, something's not right. Something's still up there. I'm like, okay, whatever. By that point, I like not even paying attention to him. I'm just like watching Grayson and look across the room. And you know, I'm totally elated. I'm like, yeah, buddy, do what you have to do. And like, I didn't feel anything down there anymore. I'm like, whatever. But it turns out, that they had to do basically an emergency DNC for the vanishing twin.
Was it an actual, like, had the baby like formed or it was placenta?
No, he said no. He said that just the placenta was just didn't let go. Like it just stayed there and it didn't grow. The placenta, it stayed the same size, but enough that he had to take it out.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And were the two of you still in contact like throughout all of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 We talked. I mean, when we moved up to the Berkshires, I obviously saw my New York friends a little bit less.
She sent me pictures and mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Once Grayson was born, though, it was like a freaking whirlwind. Yeah, so I came down to New York a little bit less.
Things change. Things change.
Yeah. We lost touch maybe for, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
a couple of years maybe. No. I think we always kind of checked in with each other here and there with a text. And a
friendly text. Carrie and I was definitely, we were able to come to New York a lot more often before Grayson was born.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Oh, and then everything was going great. Grayson was doing great. And then he was 3.5. And 3 years and 7 months. And on December 30th, 2017, we were in the car heading to, we always spent New Year's Eve and New Year's Day weekend with Carrie's family in Long Island. We were heading down and we basically were stopped at a traffic jam. And the last thing I remember, I was like, oh, wow, a plus 54 minute traffic jam on Google Maps. And I remember kind of looking ahead and the last thing I remember was, should we get in the right lane? I was like, I don't know. Next thing I know, I'm waking up or opening my eyes and, you know, I had lost both of them instantly in the car. So, you know, I don't know how much you want me to go into it, but.
Listen, I'm already crying, but it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, just so for people listening, it was instant for both of them. I mean, I could tell, you know, looking at Carrie instantly, she was gone. I somehow got out of the car. That's the one part that my brain kind of blocks out.
You got out of the car somehow.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember the first thought was, okay,
I saw the car and it was not pretty. It was like, how did anybody ever get out of a car? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first thought was, I've got to check on Grayson. So I somehow got out of the car. That's the one part I can't remember. And I'm thinking it's because maybe it was probably painful.
Yeah.
But I got out of the car and I checked his pulse and realized he was gone instantly as well. It turns out I had like 15 fractures and
broken ribs.
Yeah, I had 11 broken ribs, 2 broken vertebrae in my neck and 2 in my back. But they all stayed aligned. And I didn't need surgery.
Somebody was with her.
Split second, you know, lost my family. And as friends started to find out, now I didn't have any of my belongings, including my cell phone.
Right.
But there were certain numbers I had memorized in the hospital. And, you know, so I was able to get some phone calls out, but not very many. And then when they realized I didn't need surgery, a winter storm was coming through. and it was Winter Storm Grayson. Oof. And so, yeah, I mean, if that's not a sign, I don't know what
he's
is.
Here. I mean, he's here.
Yeah. So they said, well, we need to release you. The nurses did not know what they're like.
I cry more than her sometimes.
Well, I am diagnosed with adjustment disorder with flattened mood.
Well, I didn't mean that as like a...
I'm not saying...
I always cry.
I'm just saying...
Tears just flow in my face.
Well, and, you know, it's... You lived through such a trauma. I mean, an unimaginable trauma. And, you know, you have to handle it how your body needs to handle it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just say, and we all say it all the time, how in awe of you we are, Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jane.
For just your strength and just your courage to continue going. And I don't want to keep going, but I'm just crying. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
But
anyway. Yeah. Well,
anywho, let's cut this scene out. All right.
No, it's beautiful. And it's, oh, you're telling it in such a wonderful way. And, Storm Grayson came through.
Yeah. Winter Storm Grayson was, mama, get your ass home.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you got it, bud. I'm heading home and I'm getting to work. Because there was a lot. My mind was all over the place, I'd say, for about 6 months. You know, my mind would go in and out of dark places, right? But there was one thing that became real clear. It was like the only thing that was clear in the beginning was, I'm not through being a mom. That I'm not letting this one person have the control to decide whether I'm still a mom to someone living here or not.
By the person, you mean the person who hit your car, right?
Yeah. No way. Nothing else I did or do in life is as important and beautiful and as amazing as being a mom.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, so that's the only thing I knew. So what I did was do anything that I needed to do to get to that point where I was ready to try to be a mom again.
Mm-hmm.
So first that meant healing, physically too.
Yeah. And how do you heal? How did you, it's different for everybody, but how did you get to the space where you are?
So fortunately, you know, I definitely would say I had a lot of resource, like coping resources that were just my own. I mean, music was an amazing outlet. I was in a doctoral program at the time, and a couple people like assumed that would be stopped, but no, like I stayed in it. It was a hybrid program, which was great because I only had to go for one weekend, but they let me Zoom in, obviously, and for this, but the homework and just like the stimulation and the distraction of it helped. I mean, there were so many things, the working out. So fortunately, from being an athlete, like my whole life, I knew what to do with my body. So long before, I wouldn't say follow this, but long before PT started, I knew what kind of exercises I could do to work on my body to start getting better.
Yeah.
And like, because it started where I couldn't even lift my arm to open the refrigerator.
You were in really bad shape.
Yeah. Especially the right side of me was kind of crushed. So what I did was I just started doing arm lifts, just my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every day I was able to get higher. And then before you know it, I grabbed like these 3 pound weights and I could do raises with 3 pounds. And then I went to 5 and then I went to 10. I would stand up straight and do leg lunges, calf raises, anything I knew that would keep my back straight. Cause I was still in a neck brace. I was in a neck brace for 4 months and I had to sleep in it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was pretty huge mentally for me, was just to keep moving. But the other thing that was super huge that wasn't dependent on me was I had the best network of friends and family that like I could ever ask for, like including Am. Mm-hmm. Like my friends were all of you
including
guys.
Including you.
Oh, all of you. I called you all my army and I still do. Everybody was
get
coming
your asses up to the brochures,
sending things, writing beautiful ASAP. Letters, checking on me, whatever they could do. Like people would come up just to take me out to lunch because I couldn't drive for 4 months. So I had to recover at my parents' house. And so that was beautiful. And I figured out pretty early on, like friends started asking me, what can we do? Just tell us, what should we do? Cause no one knew.
Right.
And about 2 weeks in, I said, I figured it out. I know what you can do. Make plans, make fun plans.
Right.
And so every weekend from January into September of that year, there were people visiting me, or once I had no neck brace on, I was going out to see them.
There was like a sign-up sheet. There was like a...
It was cute. And like Am said that friends like that she hadn't really talked too much before were like, are you going this weekend? Who's going that weekend?
Yeah.
So during that time, right, was, you know, Am was coming up and just beautiful, beautiful friendship and beautiful, beautiful person. And she'd be, you know, she was still
in her last... showing a lot of support. I would sob every time I came up.
That is support. I was
sobbing. Like, because, like,
because I just wanted her to be okay. I said that. I was like, I just want you to be okay. And
hearing that news, I mean, we love you so much. We loved your family. We love your family so much. And hearing that news is unfathomable for your friends and family as well. Yeah. So, you know, you want to be there for you, Lauren. And it's so hard to know how to show up, right?
Yeah.
So hard.
Like, what do you do? Like, what do you, what do you say? Like, I'm not a good advice giver. Don't follow me.
Everything everybody did was absolutely perfect for me. You know, it was just, all of you were incredible.
Wow.
So through it, looking back now, so I didn't know this was happening in my emotions or, you know, my head was all over the place until about June, I'd say. I was like, woo.
Yeah.
But so Anne would come up and, you know, I was in my neck brace. It was icy. That winter lasted for freaking ever. Mm. And she would come to the door and put her arm around me and walk me to the car every step of the way just to take me out to lunch and sit with me for a little bit, bring me back and then drive back to work, you know? And it was just, we had these amazing times and moments of just talking and everything. And I remember like at one point in time, I told her, I said, yeah, I haven't told many people this, but I'm already taking folic acid because I'm preparing myself that when my body's healed, I'm going to try to become pregnant again. And I said, you know, it's not how I pictured. I didn't know I was going to be like, this will be different. You know, I'll be a single mom. But it's the one thing I know that I'm meant to do. Mm-hmm. And she was super
fucking badass.
She is. She is.
Thank God.
I don't know. But I do love it. And then like as time passed. And once I got my neck brace off, I actually couldn't wait to get to New York City. I went to New York more. It felt like more like my youth because that's where I was living, you know, before and in my 20s and early 30s. And I was like, oh, you know, and I felt the energy of the city and it was just great to like be back there. So I started coming to New York a lot more often again.
And I remember a karaoke night or two.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yep. All of just a sudden, one day, right? I was really out of it until in June, there was a ceremony in Long Island. That was kind of the last thing, the last piece of the services that were scheduled. And it was the second that was over, I was like this whole weight was lifted and I could like think again. And I was like clear headed again. And that's when I was like, oh my God. I'm in love with Anne. I'm falling in love with her. So
yeah,
it was pretty incredible. It was unexpected. But I had known her for so long too.
Right.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, you know. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I just met you. You know, it was like over 20 years of friendship that just was so beautiful. We fell in love.
Yeah.
I mean, she showed up for you. She was there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fell.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then we're like, the friend group is like, so Lauren's dating Anne-Marie.
Right? Let me hear it now, Jay. Let's hear it.
No, but
let's hear it all.
And it was like, oh, what? Oh, okay.
And, you know, I mean, you know, obviously we're older, you know, now we're in our early 40s. We've known each other for over 20 years. Anne already knew my plan. Mm-hmm. So like that whole conversation of like, so do you want kids and do you want that? All of that stuff was skipped because we knew it all. You know, it just felt really natural, really beautiful. So we went with it. I mean, you know,
I think in the beginning I was worried about what people were going to think, like, oh, they're dating so soon after, but you know, it's, you know, and I know there was talk and whatever, and it's kind of unexplainable. I don't know. It was just
you fall for who you fall for. And nobody can say how you grieve and how grief works and how soon is too soon or, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, you know, there's always those haters out there or naysayers or, you know,
But you know, shit. Actually, as things went on in our relationship, like especially that first year we were together, I remember like certain signs and things that, and we kind of came to the, we're like, you know, I wonder if Carrie has something to do with this too. Remember, we were I love if Carrie, because I know she would never want me to be alone.
Right.
And
she's a beautiful soul.
She was loved Amory. Yeah. Her and Amory had a lot of fun together. yeah. And we both were like, you know what? This is exactly what she would have wanted, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So she said, you know, after we were together for a while, she said, so do you think like, at some point, you know, like, do you think you'd want to get married again? You know, I remember you asked that and I said, absolutely. Previous, you know, after the accident, I felt like every time people got together was for something sad, right? Like centered around loss. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, cause at one point we're like, should we just go away? You know, cause technically it's my, like, Am's like, we can go and do like a destination wedding. And I'm like, yeah, but this is your first wedding. Mm. You know, and so thinking of you like this is I'm saying, let's just do it easy to get away. I'm like, no. And then I was thinking to myself, I want a party and I want a fun, happy party.
I don't even know if my parents were ready for that wedding yet. Like I'd never talked about any kind of stuff with that before.
Yeah, they were shocked like, a little bit. Yeah.
You're still a lesbian? there was a shock value with my family, but it was,
went with a big big happy party. And I remember my dad saying, you know, he looked at both of us. He's like, I haven't felt this happy in so long.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun party.
And then she knocked me up in the honeymoon.
I wish.
So I had been like doing fertility. I guess I started briefly before we were officially a couple,
I started going with you as a friend just because if I was up and she had an appointment, I went with her.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what was really cool was, right in her precinct was one of the best fertility clinics for women over 40. And it was covered by her health insurance. We fell in love with it. We loved our doctor there.
Oh my God.
She's so cool.
She's on Instagram.
Dr. Makarov.
Dr. Jen Fertility Friend. You got to look her up.
Yeah. Dr. Jen Fertility Friend.
Oh my God. She's sweet.
She's really good. Yeah. But again, it took almost 2 years of, when you count from the very first time of checkups and appointments and all of that, took almost 2 years again.
And you did IVF.
IVF. And this time, you know, some things had changed in those years of fertility. So, you know, this time, I mean, it took so long. Like this time I had to get shots in the ass. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do that before.
Oh,
you know?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
But finally, and the other thing was, is we knew we wanted two.
Right.
So
we had to move fast.
So the first healthy embryo, and they required genetic testing because I was over 40.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at least this clinic did. I don't know if they all do. But the first embryo that came back healthy, we were like, okay, great. And I was like, let's do the transfer. And the doctor's like, but wait, if you want to have two, you should do more retrievals now to make sure you have more than one embryo. So you have the younger eggs rather than going back and doing the older ones.
Right.
So we're like, okay. I'm like, all right, we'll keep doing retrievals. So I swear I had like three or four more retrievals, which, you know, are not easy.
No.
To do and recover from. But the very first transfer, once we had all the embryos, the very first transfer, I got pregnant with Cody in October.
Oh, wow. It was the first one.
Yeah. And we knew he was going to take, because you know how they show you the picture of the embryo?
Uh-huh.
He was like busting out of the egg. Like the egg had broken out of the little sac thing. I'm like, oh my God, this kid's ready.
The blastocyst was like,
yeah, you know, hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa.
He needed to
come. At that point, you know, I remembered all the transfers I had to get pregnant with Grayson. I had never seen that before. But yeah, I mean, there's always something in pregnancies,
later,
right? Well, kind of. Well, remember, there was the whole thing with the placenta being too close.
Didn't you have placenta previa? Yeah.
So the pregnancy was awesome, but yeah, they kept going back and forth with, oh, the placenta moved. You can deliver vaginally. Oh, no, it moved again. You're going to need a C-section. So I had an emergency C-section, which was scary.
I had that too. It's not
you
fun.
Did. It was, no, we were both in tears at one point. We didn't know what was happening. You know, you're listening to the baby monitor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, it was so surreal. But for you, I mean, you've lost a baby at this point. So like, that's a whole other layer. I mean, of course that was in the back of my mind when I'm laying on the bed with all the stuff happening, but I can just imagine it would be a completely different situation for you.
Yeah, definitely vulnerable. And like, oh my God, like everybody was just like, we want everything to be easy for you
right
from here on out, you know, like Anne was just like, I just want this to everything to be happy and go well and easy, you know, and it's just, that's not how life is.
Right.
But he came out completely healthy.
Oh my God,
everything
perfect.
Was great. Super strong. Again, really big.
Forge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then with Luke, basically it was just waiting for my body to heal. So they kept doing tests to make sure. And then about 9 months later, they're like, okay, you're ready. And we were like, okay, well, we don't have a lot of, you know, cause I'm getting up there in age, mm-hmm. you know? So we went right in and again, right away with that transfer.
Oh, it worked right away.
Pregnant right away. Yeah. Once I got to the transfer part, it was like always like happening. It was just the retrievals were rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so you got pregnant with Luke and then now you have two. Luke.
Yep.
So yeah. are very close in age and adorable.
17 months apart, Cody and Luke. Yeah. 2.5 and 1 basically.
Yeah. So, you know, you went through the loss and then you get Cody. What was it like for you? Grieving wise or like, and also for you, Anne Marie, you know, knowing the history and knowing, I know you wanted everything to be smooth and easy for Lauren. And like,
yeah,
did you go through emotions?
Yeah.
And if I'm getting too deep, just tell me to shut up.
Not at all. I was in a bad place at that time. I had a back surgery. So I was medicated and all that with like Oxy and,
dealing with your own.
I was dealing with my own crap and trying to be there for her. And I guess I kind of just lost my, you know, I don't know. I just kind of.
You were recovering.
I was recovering, but it was during the time where we were, you know, we were making a family. So it was hard for me to be away. It was, you know, I wasn't really in a great place because I was coming off all my medications that I was on.
Because you were going through, because you had transitioned out of your career. And you had some PTSD.
I retired and I was,
over it.
And, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody said I had PTSD and all this. So, I mean, I don't know what I really have. I think I'm just an asshole. But you know, there was some time there where it was touch and go with me. And I was, you know, I was lucky to, you know, have Lauren by my side, obviously. But I feel like I wasn't completely there the way I should have been, you know. But yeah, it was a tough time.
I would say like so when Cody was born, I definitely wanted to make sure I was in therapy on a regular basis, just to kind of like be able to check in because I was kind of like preparing for like different emotions to be coming out. And I still am. And I kind of feel like I should always be for the rest of my life, but you know, just to kind of check in, you know,
somebody to talk
but it was, I mean, I was just so excited to be a mom again to a little child that I could actually, you know, touch and hold and play with. And, you know, so it was more beautiful than like, I kind of thought maybe a lot of painful memories might come into play, but that didn't really happen quite as much. Plus they keep you so damn busy.
Right.
You know,
true.
You know, but no, I mean, it was really beautiful. I mean, but there are things that come up like, so Cody's 2.5 now, you know, Grayson was 3.5 when I lost him. So now he's getting closer to his age. And, you know, I'm kind of like almost preparing myself for like different emotions that might come up. You know, sometimes I look in the back and his hand looks more like Grayson's used to when I would look back, like he's just getting older, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to really embrace like the beauty of it and the love. Yeah. Of it. And I just, like you said, I always feel carrying Grayson with us, with all of us, and that they're a part of this family. Like, so that's kind of how we always view it. Like we bring
there's
up
a lot
Carrie
of signs,
Grayson,
a ton of signs.
Yeah. And we bring up their older brother a lot to them. You know, they have either like some of his pictures in their room, some of Grayson's drawings in their room. We talk about, oh, this was Grayson's, your big brother's. And they don't quite understand yet, but Cody, he's getting there. Like he'll say like, and kind of like, I don't know what you mean, but okay. You know, and we'll show him videos of Grayson and things like that. So we're still navigating that whole part.
Yeah. And I imagine you will be forever. I mean,
yeah,
everybody's navigating it. Who knows you and knew you and is there for you. And grief is not just a one-stop deal. Like grief is with us forever, you know? Something that happens will be with you forever and it ebbs and flows and does its thing. And it's just amazing how you've managed to like just go on and rebuild and your life. And you found Amory, and Amory's there for you, and you two help each other out, and you both are going through your ups and downs, and it's fucking beautiful, man.
Thanks, Jean.
It is. Amory's over here crying because it's.
I know.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, but you got those beautiful babies.
Yeah, they're awesome.
You used a donor from a sperm bank, right?
Yes.
Are you guys talking to the boys about their origin story yet? Like, how do you talk about where they come from? Not yet so much. They're still little.
It hasn't really come
up yet. They're too little, yeah.
The last time we talked about it, we figured we just kind of like let it come up naturally. Like, see, like when Cody starts asking questions, then we'll know, okay, like he's ready to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's just starting to say sentences, you know, like.
But we did think it was important. Like we picked out, because a lot of people ask a lot of times, oh, are they, did you use the same donor as with Grayson? And I had looked at that originally and there wasn't any vials left of Grayson's donor anyway. But I also really liked the process of us picking out our donor together. Mm-hmm. I thought that was important for us to do together as a couple.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful what you have. And I'm just so glad that you're still here with us, Lauren. And I'm so glad that you found Amory and you guys are making it work and it's happening and it's beautiful.
Thanks.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did. What a good story. But... the conversation is not over, folks. Be sure you're following the show on all the socials. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. You're going to get photos of all the guests there, some videos, and just, you know, all around fun from yours truly. Who doesn't want that? Don't miss out. You don't want FOMO. Nobody wants FOMO. And don't forget to join me on Patreon to help me create this super important queer content. You're going to head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to sign up and get that bonus content. And one more thing, if you love this show and want to represent your love for us and our beautiful families, you need to head to our shop and get some Queer Family Podcast merchandise. We've got so many designs and you can put these designs on any product in the store. We've got t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases. You're just going to go to tpublic.com and search for the Queer Family Podcast. Or you can find the shop on our website at thequeerfamilypodcast.com. There's so many ways, so many ways. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Tune back in next week for another episode all about family, but with gay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.